Hello, everyone out there. This is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, and I would love for you all getting involved to support Brandon Stations and his network. If you use the promo code WVW, you can save up to 66% off all my products at MyPillow.com, and half the proceeds are going to go to support his great network. Thank you.
WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present Pastor's Point of View with Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods is an author and the teaching pastor at Sugarland Bible Church in Houston, Texas. And now here's your host and teacher, Dr. Andy Woods.
I want to welcome you to Pastor's Point of View number 185. Today is November the 5th. 2021, flying solo today because of some scheduling issues, but let's just get right into it. We're going to bring you a prophecy update today. There's the outline that we're going to try to work our way through. And we always start with Israel because Israel is the centerpiece of everything God's doing. You'll see that in Ezekiel chapter 5, I think it's verse 5. And Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 12, it calls Israel and Jerusalem the center of the nations. So let's start with this article here entitled, "Will Hyperinflation Hitting the U.S. Pre-Sage or Stage the Messiah?" by David Sidman, October 26, 2021. From Israel 365 News. And, you know, a lot of people are very concerned about inflation. What's interesting, though, is amongst the Jews, and these would be unbelieving Jews in the land of Israel, they actually look at inflation as something that's setting the stage for the coming Messiah. Now, we know that the Messiah they're waiting for is the Antichrist. They won't learn that until 3.5 years into the tribulation. But they're waiting for their Messiah, and apparently according to their own rabbinical authorities, inflation or hyperinflation, just like the kind that we're seeing right now, is setting the stage for the coming of the Jewish Messiah. This article by David Sidman says, "Hyperinflation is when the price of goods and services increases uncontrollably for a sustained period of time. Almost all hyperinflations have been caused by budget deficits financed by currency creation." And stopping the quote just for a minute, this is exactly the kind of thing that we're seeing right now, even as here in the United States, our own government is about ready to push through a massive boondoggle spending bill, which will not decrease inflation, it will accelerate it. The article goes on and it says, "A section of the Talmud, Sanhedrin 97a, describes several signs that will indicate that the Son of David or the Messiah is imminent." And then the article goes on to cite some scripture. "The vine will produce its fruit, and nevertheless the wine will be costly." Now that's not scripture. Actually, that's Jewish tradition that's being cited here. Later on, the same Talmud in another section says this, quote, "The Messiah will not come until the peruta, if I'm pronouncing that right, which is the smallest denomination of money, will cease from the purse." And this article goes on and it cites some rabbis. Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, head of the Sanhedrin's Noahide court, and of the Devar Yerushalem Yeshiva, says, quote, "Before Messiah, God wants us to return to normal lives," close quote. Luxuries will be an impossibility before the Messiah comes. The article goes on and it quotes Rabbi Yosef Berger, the rabbi of King David's tomb on Mount Zion, and this particular rabbi said, quote, "People who live on credit are literally living their lives without pruta in their purse, Rabbi Berger noted. And goes on quoting this same rabbi who said, this is about to change. When they discover they really don't have any money, they will suddenly remember to cry out to God, close quote. So I find it very interesting that these Jewish tradition, rabbinical authorities, they're all arguing that inflation is something that will precede the coming of the Messiah. In fact, according to these sources, that's what's going to return people to normal spending habits because they won't be able to buy much. And this has to happen before their Messiah can come. Of course, as I said before, they're actually waiting for the Antichrist, thinking he's Jesus Christ, and they won't know he's the Antichrist until the midpoint of the tribulation. So my point is the hyperinflation that we're starting to see is actually setting the stage, if you will, for the coming of the Antichrist, who will enter into a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. So even inflation itself is related to the end times, according to this Jewish understanding. The interesting thing about all of it, you can look here at our tribulation chart, tribulation judgments. When seal judgment number one is opened, what will happen is there's going to be a rider on the white horse. He's going to come forward. And according to, and you can see our list here of the first six seal judgments, when seal judgment number three is opened, the inflation which exists will actually be accelerating. Revelation 6 verses 5 and 6 says, when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. I looked and behold a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I had heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. See, Israel is waiting for their Messiah, thinking that he is going to cure inflation. And yet what the Bible actually predicts is the Messiah that they're waiting for is actually the Antichrist. He's the rider on the white horse, Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. And once the third seal judgment is opened, it's very apparent that he will not solve hyperinflation. He will actually accelerate it. So the truth of the matter is there won't be a return to a healthy economy ever until Jesus returns at the end of the seven-year tribulation period and ushers in his millennial kingdom. But it is very interesting that according to Jewish thought and Jewish tradition, the type of inflation that we're seeing today is actually paving the way for the Antichrist. So I bring that subject to your attention. I'm sure you're interested in it, as I was when I first started reading about this. Let's move on to our second subject, and that's the New World Order religion. We know that a New World Order is on the way because the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and verse 23 says of the Antichrist's empire, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. We know that prior to the return of Jesus Christ, a one world government headed by the Antichrist will be in place. And it very much is on the horizon today. Now, in order to have a new world order, you have to have three prongs. There has to be an economic prong, a religious prong, and a political prong. It's like a three-legged stool. And I want to emphasize just for a minute the religious aspect of this. There has to be, for this new world order to come into place, sort of a Christian veneer that makes it look moral and makes the whole thing look spiritual. And one of the things that we're seeing develop today is this notion of borders between countries. like, for example, the border between the United States and Mexico, has to be marginalized, if not eliminated. You can't have nations flexing their muscles within their own borders for the New World Order to come into existence. Borders themselves have to become sort of irrelevant. So moving towards more of a borderless society, a world without borders, is a precursor for this coming New World Order. And there has to be somebody in place who's going to tell everybody that having such a borderless society is in fact ethical, moral, Christian, biblical, and spiritual. Now, of course, nothing could be further from the truth, because borders is actually mentioned in the Bible in Acts 17, verse 26, Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 32, verse 8, many verses that we've gone over in prior pastors' points of view. But if people aren't looking at the Bible, they've got to have some kind of religious veneer in place to tell them that a world without borders is in fact ethical and moral. And this is the religious aspect, or the religious leg, or the religious prong of the New World Order coming into place. And the entity, or the person, or personage, that's actually adding a Christian, and I put Christian in quotation marks, veneer to a borderless world is the Pope. And notice this article from Breitbart, written by Thomas Williams, dated October 24th, 2021. It says, it's quoting here Pope Francis, and Pope Francis says, quote, "We are called to be a sign and a witness that it is impossible to pass, or excuse me, it is possible to pass beyond the walls of selfishness and personal and national interest." So notice that according to Pope Francis, a religious figure, a spiritual figure, if you have borders, you're basically being selfish as a nation. And he goes on and he says, quote, "As Christians," notice the spirituality to all of this, "as Christians, we are called to a love that transcends borders and limits." Let me read that sentence to you again. "As Christians, we are called to a love that transcends borders and limits. We are called to commit ourselves freely to the development of a more just and equitable society where forms of selfish and partisan interests do not prevail," he said. So it's interesting how Christianity, the gospel, religiosity, religion, spirituality, whatever you want to call it, is actually being used here by the pontiff, is actually being used here by the Pope to push forward the New World agenda of a borderless society. Now, I do find this very interesting and almost kind of humorous that the Pope himself lives behind a giant wall that he wants to... You know, he wants to forbade other nations from having. I've been to Vatican City myself. I mean, that's like one walled fortress there. So it's very typical of these elites. They want to live one way and the rest of the world to live a different way. Rules for thee, but not for me. That's why you catch so many of them at exclusive restaurants without social distancing and without their face masks on. But I digress. We won't go into that today, but you get the idea. It's right out of George Orwell's Animal Farm, where he was describing communism, and he said some animals on the farm are more equal than others. And that's how it's always worked in Marxism, and that's how it's going to work when the New World Order comes upon the earth. So we've seen Israel, we've seen the New World Order religion, and let's move on to our third category. This has to do with the New World Order location or headquarters. And we hear of the persuasion that the New World Order headquarters is going to be situated ultimately in the Middle East. And so let me bring to your attention this article from backtojerusalem.com. The title of it is One World Religion Headquarters Set to Open Next Year. One World Religion Headquarters. And it goes on, and it's going to tell us where these headquarters are going to be. So notice this article. It says, a One World Religion Headquarters is set to open in 2022. The headquarters will be called the Abrahamic Family House. Now, isn't that interesting? We have the Abraham Accords, and now we have the Abraham House. You know, and that name Abraham is intentionally selected to link the main religions of the world, Islam, Judaism, and Christendom. And it goes on, it says the headquarters will be called the Abrahamic Family House and is to be built on an island in the Middle Eastern city of Abu Dhabi. The headquarters is being done in collaboration, with Pope Francis and Sunni Muslim leader Sheikh Ayman al-Tayeb. After they both signed a global peace covenant called the Document of Human Fraternity for World Peace. The stated purpose of the Abrahamic Family House is to bring understanding and tolerance among the faiths. You know, Abraham, of course, being the common, you know, tie that supposedly binds these religions together. The One World Religion Headquarters will have three buildings, one building each representing the mosque, church, and synagogue. Interestingly, the article says, however, the church is not permitted to have a cross on the building as a method of identifying it, as it is illegal to display a Christian cross on a building in the United Arab Emirates. This is so typical of the New World Order religion. It wants to have tolerance for everyone except, of course, you know, any vestige of Bible-based Christianity. The article goes on and it says, connected to this construction project will be an interfaith council to oversee projects which aim to advance tolerance. So the name of the game here is tolerance. It's interesting, you can go on to this article that I just read from, and there's actually a YouTube presentation of what this Abrahamic house is going to look like. It's interesting here that it mentions the Pope, and everybody from time immemorial has told me that the headquarters of the One World Religion is going to be Rome. Well, I guess the Pope himself, who, you know, exercises his religious authority out of Rome, didn't get the memo, because the Pope himself is assigning himself to this Abrahamic house in the Middle East in the United Arab Emirates. So, and there's a picture of the three houses, and this is what, you know, is being called the headquarters of the coming New World Order. And so when you look at this map here, the nations on the day of Pentecost, you see Rome and you see Mesopotamia. According to Bible prophecy and according to what we are reading here, the headquarters of the One World Religion is not going to be Rome in the West. It's rather going to be that area near Mesopotamia in the East, in the Middle East. And this is going to be headquartered in Dubai. Notice our map here that shows you exactly where Dubai is in the United Arab Emirates. And, of course, not far from Dubai, and you can see it there on the map, is Iraq, which is the home of modern-day Babylon. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that this Abrahamic house is not the final form of the headquarters of the One World Religion. the final form of the headquarters of the One World Religion is going to be the literal city of Babylon in between the Euphrates and the Tigris. In fact, I recently wrote a book on this subject if you're interested. The title of it is called Babylon, the Bookends of Prophetic History, where I try to argue biblically that this is going to be the headquarters of the Antichrist. So how does this Abrahamic house fit in with it? It just shows me the mentality of the New World Order. They're looking for a location. And as they look for a location, they're not looking for it in the West, in Europe, as has been commonly taught in Bible prophecy circles. They're actually looking for a headquarters in the Middle East, in the United Arab Emirates, which is not far from Iraq or modern-day Babylon. And so you can see that the mentality of the world leaders is the headquarters is going to be in the Middle East, not in the West. And I think this is pushing us further and further to the time period when we will see a rebuilt Babylon on the banks of the Euphrates in modern-day Iraq. And so it's interesting to me that the leaders of the New World Order, that's the part of the world they're looking at, not far from Babylon, as they contemplate these headquarters for, you know, the one world religious system that's on the horizon. So I find that to be a very interesting development. So we've looked at Israel. We've looked at the New World Order religion and the Pope himself giving a spiritual interpretation to a world without borders. We looked at number three here, the New World Order location, moving us ever closer to a rebuilt Babylon in the end times. And let's move on to our fourth category here, which is global crisis management. And the environment is in the news again. No big shock there. One of the things to understand is we believe that the environment has been intentionally selected, because the name of the game here is to convince people that there's something wrong with our environment. We're causing some kind of catastrophe in the environment. And if you believe that we are contributing to so-called global warming, they don't call it global warming anymore because the earth actually started to cool. So they had to change the category to climate change. But if you believe that we are causing climate change, then there has to be some sort of global solution in place to restrict our activities, which will ultimately enslave us. And this has to be done to protect the environment. That's why the environment, long ago by the One Worlders, was selected as an issue. Because only it is global, and only it can convince people that there's a global problem. And if they think there's a global problem, then we will accept a global solution. So here's this article called The Ultimate Crisis. It's just one line from King and Schneider, who wrote a book called The First Global Revolution back in 1991. These are globalists, and they concede, or they admit here, quote, "In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill." Now, a lot of you might be asking, well, Andy, do you believe in climate change? Well, of course I believe in climate change. The climate is the climate is always changing. But that's not the issue. The issue is it anthropogenically caused climate change? Anthro-man-genic cause or beginning. Anthropogenic means man-caused. And what they want you to believe is our activities are causing the climate to change. And while I believe in climate change, I don't believe in anthropogenic climate change. And one of the reasons I don't believe in it is because of what God said. In the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 22, which is part of God's covenant with Noah right at the beginning of the Bible. And it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. And it describes here four cycles and rhythms that have absolutely nothing to do with human activity. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter. I mean, it's going to become summer or winter regardless of what kind of car we drive, day and night. And right in the midst of that, it says cold and heat. God told us at the beginning of the Bible that there would be climate change, but it has nothing to do with human activity or capitalism or human consumption or private property rights. But the one worlders wants you to think that somehow you're causing the climate to change, and if you believe that's true, then you will sacrifice your own freedoms to them to solve this problem for us globally. It's a so-called global problem, so it cries out for a global solution. So here we have this whole subject back in the news again, and we have this article from Breitbart. The title of it is Barack Obama teams up with celebrities for a YouTube climate special to celebrate Mother Earth. And this was written October 19th, 2021. And let me read you just a few excerpts from this article. It says, former President Barack Obama is teaming up with celebrities for YouTube Originals Dear Earth special meant to celebrate Mother Earth. And it mentions all of these stars and starlets that are going to be involved. My goodness, even the Muppets and Kermit the Frog are participating. And the whole point of this is it highlights how we should be solving climate problems. The article says Obama claimed that the climate change will be worse than the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. He says we've all had to adapt to cope with a pandemic. Maybe better said, a plandemic, the ex-president wrote on Twitter. Now listen to this language very carefully. Climate change will force far harsher changes on our kids. Notice that expression, far harsher changes. And it goes on and it says in 2017, Obama insisted that people eating more steaks, boy, that hurts because I'm a Texan and I love my local steakhouses. In 2017, Obama insisted that people eating more steaks were causing a dramatic rise in climate emissions. And here he complains about the absence of American leadership on climate change under then-President Donald Trump. But then the article very keenly says, but while Obama lectures the people on climate change, he also enjoys jetting to Europe and hopping in an SUV and a 14 car convoy to give his doomsday speeches. So this is yet another example of rules for me, rules for thee, but not rules for me. These people that are pushing this New World Order mentality have no intention of living under the same rules that they are proposing for you. So it's this idea that, oh my goodness, we're causing man-made anthropogenic climate change, and we have to regulate our activities as we try to save Mother Earth or as we try to save the environment. We have a screenshot here of his tweet, and this is what Obama said. We've all had to adapt to cope with a pandemic. Climate change will force, and here's the language I found so interesting, far harsher changes on our kids. All of us should follow the young people who've led the efforts to protect our planet for generations and demand more of our leaders do so at every level. In other words, look, we've got social distancing, 6 feet, everybody's in masks, and everybody's having to have their body temperature checked as they move in and out of public places. And some places won't let you come in to shop or to eat at a restaurant unless you have the right COVID passport. And he's saying that we need changes that are harsher. And notice who he's targeting here. The kids. Harsher changes on these kids. That's why it breaks my heart to see these little kids in preschool and kindergarten and first grade all being lined up in social distancing, all being go through the whole school day, being muzzled with this mask as if you can learn when you're struggling to breathe. And they are preparing the next generation for these draconian globalist restrictions that they want to roll out. And the next round of restrictions, which is supposed to be far harsher, is going to be imposed in the name of climate change. It's interesting that Obama says no stakes. And I'm reminded of 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3. We've quoted this before, but it says, "But the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods, which God created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth." Close quote. In other words, the last days is going to be characterized by apostates and false doctrine, where they're going to forbid marriage. Now, in a prior PPOV, we talked about a whole town in Canada where unless you both parties show the proper, you know, proof of vaccination, you can't even get married in that town. That's what God is predicting is going to happen in the last days. The Spirit expressly predicts that false doctrine will envelop the earth, forbidding marriage, and then abstaining from certain foods. Isn't that what Obama just said? No steaks, even though God sees nothing wrong with having a steak, particularly in the Noahic covenant. And so this is how this global crisis management is now ushering in the New World Order as we speak. And even as we are recording this, there's something going on right now called the COP26 Climate Summit. And here's another article from Breitbart, and it says, "The United Nations warns of a global famine, chaos, terrorism, and war." Those are pretty strong terms. "If COP26 Climate Summit fails," it's an article by Simon Kent, October the 24th, 2021. Here's what the article says. It says, "Any failure by the COP26 Summit in Glasgow, according to Patricia Espinosa, Secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change." In other words, if this adventure by these globalists, these nations of the world all coming together with the goal of surrendering their sovereignty to some sort of international bureaucracy to manage the economies of the earth to protect us all from anthropogenic climate change. If this fails, then the earth itself is going to revolt. There's going to be war, she says, terrorism, and famine. Now here's a direct quote from Patricia Espinosa. Quote, "It would mean less food, so probably a crisis in food security. It would have a lot more people vulnerable to terrible situations, terrorist groups and violent groups. It would mean a lot of sources of instability. The leaders of the G20 nations of the world's largest developed and developing economies, the article goes on after her quote, will fly to Rome, into Rome next weekend for 2 days of preliminary talks, then fly again to Glasgow to join about 100 other heads of government for the climate gathering. Some key leaders include the president of China, now the world's, some of the people missing will be the president of China, now the world's biggest emitter of carbon dioxide, and Russia's Putin, and the article said these two are unlikely to attend. You see what's happening here, folks? Rules for thee, but not for me. It's just yet another example that these elites have no intention of living under the rules that they craft for the rest of the world to enslave it. The article goes on and says, now watch this, this is very interesting, a long list of quarantine exemptions have been put in place to ensure that all those flying in will not be required to undertake lengthy isolation on arrival. Now, why is it that little old me, when I travel to certain states, I've got to be quarantined, and little old you? And here are all these elites rolling in for this climate summit, and suddenly the mask requirement is gone, social distancing requirement is gone, vaccine passport proof validation is gone. How come Russia is not there? How come China is not there? I hope we can see through this for what it is. It's not about climate change. God in Genesis 8 verse 22 tells us not to worry about climate change since we're not causing the changes. The purpose of it is control at a global scale. They want you to believe that we have a global crisis. And if you believe we have a global crisis, they will cry out, they believe that we will cry out for a global solution. This is just old stuff. Here's a quote from the Dalai Lama. And if I remember right, this quote goes back to 2001. This is over two decades old. Although the article I'm quoting is from 2016, His Holiness, quote unquote, the 14th Dalai Lama of Tibet, made this statement in 2001. This sounds exactly like what this woman Espinosa is saying. The Dalai Lama said today, quote, today we understand that the future of humanity very much depends on our planet, and the future of the planet very much depends upon humanity. But this has not always been so clear to us. Until now, you see, Mother Earth has somehow tolerated sloppy house habits. But now human use, population, and technology have reached that certain stage where Mother Earth no longer accepts our presence with silence. In many ways, she is now telling us, my children are behaving badly. She is warning us that there are limits to our actions. We don't indiscriminately consume. We put a limit on our consumption. We admire simply living an individual responsibility. Now, this is something called Gaia, which is a step further, where they believe that the Earth is actually a living, breathing, thinking entity. It's not an inanimate object of God's creation. Earth itself is God-like, or God, or a goddess. And if we don't treat her properly, she's going to retaliate against us through tornadoes, tsunamis, and the like. This is why this particular woman, Espinosa, is saying if we don't get the right decision on this COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, then we're going to have famine, chaos, terrorism, and war. Why is she saying that? She's a believer in Gaia. that the earth itself is going to rebel against us. Let me quote here that great theologian, Danny Glover. And Danny Glover, I enjoy his movies, by the way, but he is a hardened acolyte of this Gaia mentality. And this is something he said back in 2010. See, the Dalai Lama said this back in 2001. That goes back 20 years. Glover said this over a decade ago. And I'm sharing these quotes with you because I want you to see that what this woman, Espinosa, is saying is really nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun here at all. But Glover is reacting to, you might recall, the Haiti earthquake in 2010, which was a devastating earthquake. And Glover says, we caused the earthquake. Why? Because the nations of the earth didn't respond properly by surrendering their sovereignty to some global agency to monitor our economic behavior on behalf of climate change. So Glover says, quote, this is a direct quote. You can actually pull this up online and watch him and listen to him say it. He says, what happened in Haiti could happen to anywhere in the Caribbean, because all these nations are in peril because of global warming. When we see what we did at the climate summit in Copenhagen, this is the response. This is what happens. Then he says, you know what I'm saying. Well, Danny, I'm not sure I do know what you're saying, other than you're obviously a very strong believer in Gaia. And nothing is new under the sun. In other words, the whole issue of COVID-19, the plandemic, and this whole phony issue of climate change is being pushed so aggressively because it's the pretext through which global control is going to come in. And what's sad is so many people cannot see through this for what it is. Here's an article from Newsmax.com. Written by Bill Hoffman, September the 9th, 2021. It's about Fox News. A lot of people look at Fox News as if it's some sort of conservative outlet. And I'm here to tell you that things are changing and have been changing for some time dramatically at Fox News. And people think, well, it's just the kids of Murdoch that are making the changes. No, it's Murdoch himself. Rupert Murdoch himself is bringing in these changes. So here's an article, and the title of it is Murdoch's Australian Empire. Now, that would be the Fox News influence in Australia. Murdoch's Australian Empire to Embrace Climate Change. The article says Fox News owner, not the children, the owner, the father, Rupert Murdoch, has long been one of the media's last, his Fox News empire has long been one of the media's last holdouts against pushing climate change hysteria until now. Murdoch's empire in Australia, including his powerful newspapers and cable channel Sky News, has made an extraordinary flip-flop on climate change and will now embrace carbon reduction and zero emissions goals instead of trashing them. The article goes on and says it's also likely that this new editorial policy will soon extend to Murdoch's American properties, including Fox News brands, The Wall Street Journal, and yes, even the New York Post. So this issue, as I've tried to explain, of the environment is not going away anytime soon. I think they intend to milk this cow all the way into the barn, so to speak, to ride this horse, maybe a better analogy is, all the way into the barn. And, you know, COVID-19 and the plandemic there, is just part of the picture, but this issue of the environment is not going away anytime soon. Let's move to our last category here. And you guys are going to have to look past some of my kooky analogies. At least I'm hopefully getting my point across. Amen? So prophecy a bit. We've looked at Israel. We've looked at the New World Order religious leg of this whole thing. We've looked at the New World Order location in the Middle East. And we've looked at this issue of global crisis management. And we're just going to have time to slip in one more category here. And we'll come back the following week. And I've got a list that goes all the way through part 9, which will finish at that point. And it has to do with, number 5, tech tyranny. And notice this particular article from technocracy.news, and it's written October the 19th, 2021. The title of it is Credit Card Cuts Off Spending When You Reach Your CO2 Limit. So this tech tyranny is sort of related to some of the craziness involving policing the environment that we looked at a little bit earlier. But technology has sort of developed to the point where people that are nonconformists, people that don't buy into the narrative, they are going to be punished by technology itself. So notice what this article says. It says the company that created a credit card to track your purchases, CO2 emissions, is set to launch a premium version of the card that cuts off your spending as soon as you hit your carbon max. So folks, are you ready for this? Because if this goes through, you're going to have a credit card that says, oh, you spent too much, you've exceeded your carbon limit, your carbon footprint is too big, and so it stops you from spending at that point. The article goes on and says, this is the latest of many schemes to force major changes in human behavior to allegedly lessen global warming. The article goes on and it says, the back of the credit card reads underneath the signature area, quote, I'm taking responsibility for every transaction. I help to protect our environment, close quote. Measured against the UN goal of cutting carbon emissions in half by 2030, D.O. Black, a person who's involved with this enterprise, it says it comes with a monthly CO2 limit, ensuring that we stick to, now watch this, the UN 2030 recommended cuts in carbon, their website reads. So you've got a credit card that tells you when you're spending too much because you've exceeded your carbon footprint or your carbon limit. And this credit card, it's getting its number from the United Nations and UN 2030, which is globalist in nature. So the globalists are using this to try to control your consumption patterns and behavior, which is a limitation ultimately on your freedoms. The website features a sneak peek of the message the card user will be met with as soon as they hit their, as soon as they reach their carbon max. Let me just read that again. The card user will be met, the website currently features a sneak peek of the message the carbon user will be met with as soon as they hit their carbon max, complete with a red exclamation point warning, transaction denied, exclamation point, carbon limit reached. Nathalie Green, the CEO and co-founder of Diconomy, views the card as a critical need. Quote, we all need to come to terms with the urgency of the situation and rapidly move towards more responsible consumption. The website says that they are partnering with the UN and their goal is ambitious to bring about structural change. I hope you're catching that verbiage, structural change. That's changes in the structures of the society, changes in structures of the nations. Like what? Freedom of speech, freedom of private property rights, the ability to have a livelihood, to make a living, to feed your family. All of that has to be curtailed. All of that has to be limited. There has to be structural change by rewiring the financial system, close quote. And this is right off this website featuring this particular credit card, which cuts off a spending limit when you reach your CO2 limit. So this is related to what we said before concerning climate change narrative being used as a vehicle to limit human consumption. This is moving us very aggressively into a social credit system where, gosh, if you spend your money on the wrong things, then your opportunities in life shrink. You can't get the loan you wanted for your business. You can't get a loan for tuition to put your kids into the best college or the best schools. Your traveling privileges get limited. Maybe your passport is denied. That's what we mean by a social credit system. So the politically incorrect have their lives shrunk. And what allows the government to do this is the move into the cashless society. All of these things we're talking about, the social credit system, this carbon max credit card, all of it's impossible as long as we're making our purchases in cash. Because when I'm making my purchases in cash, they don't know exactly how I'm spending my money. But when we move into a cashless society and everything becomes digitized, they know exactly what I'm spending my money on. So that's why all of this is interlaced with a coming cashless society, which is exactly what the Bible predicts. It's predicted in Revelation 13, 16 through 18, verses that we've read many times on this show. It says, and he, Antichrist, causes the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the freemen and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or forehead, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. These types of cashless digital economic experiments, frankly, are going on all over the world. Here is a screenshot of an article explaining this kind of thing happening in Sri Lanka. The article says digital ID to be rolled out next year, bringing 20-year project to fruition. Officials say a person would require only his thumb for all dealings as far as one's identity is concerned. Sri Lanka, the article says, is likely to see the national rollout of the digital identity next year, providing every citizen with a unique identification, potentially ending endless wastes of time and hassles. And it goes on and it says the citizenry and businesses undergo in everyday dealings with the government and other service providers. This is being sold to everybody as it's going to be convenient. We're going to make your life convenient. You don't have to wait in line anymore at a store. You don't have to wait in line behind grandma as she's fumbling around for her purse and, you know, looking for the right amount of cash, because we're going to have a cashless society and life is going to be easier. I'm here to tell you that it might expedite things to some extent, but once that happens, your freedom is gone. The days of you being a free person are numbered, because they know exactly how you spend your money and they can now put limits on your spending because you've exceeded your carbon footprint or what have you. And even beyond that, by being able to track how you spend your money, they're able to put you into a social credit system. And if you don't have the right score, your opportunities in life suddenly shrink, and you find yourself living in an electronic concentration camp. This is exactly where all of this is headed. Not only is this going on in Sri Lanka, but it's also going on in Guadalajara. Here is an article from MexicoNewsDaily.com. Guadalajara launches digital currency for payment of goods and services. 1,800 users downloaded the app during a pilot test this week. Again, this article is dated October 22nd, 2021. Just a couple of sentences from this article. It says a new digital currency can now be used to pay for goods and services in participating businesses in Guadalajara metropolitan area. Pegged 1.1 to the Mexican peso, the Huzi, H-O-O-Z-I-A, as the currency is called, was officially launched on Thursday. This is a digital currency. The article goes on and it says a pilot program to test the functionality of the new digital currency was run at the 2021 Expo of the National Association of Supermarkets and Department Stores, which was held in Guadalajara this week. About 1,800 attendees downloaded the app during the event. So you have experiments being run in Sri Lanka, experiments of a cashless society being run in Guadalajara. And I'm here to tell you that what is happening is these ideas are being beta tested. How well do they run before they roll it out on a larger scale, introduce it to North America, and ultimately introduce it to the world? And it's always going to be sold as convenience. But what we will sadly discover is giving up freedom in exchange for a little convenience is not much of a trade-off. The last thing the government needs to know is exactly how I spend my money on every transaction. And once it becomes digitized, they have all of this knowledge. And with that knowledge comes the ability to use it. Let me give you a couple more examples of tech tyranny before we wrap up here. Here's an article from thechristianpost.com. It says Apple takes down Bible app in China to appease the communist regime. It's dated October 23rd, 2021. It says, quote, Apple has removed a popular Bible app in China after the country's communist regime deemed the apps violated local laws on hosting religious texts. Apple refused to comment but directed the BBC to its human rights policy. Quote, we are required to comply with local laws, and at times there are complex issues about which we may disagree with governments. Apple also told the BBC that apps have been removed because Chinese officials had stated they violated laws on hosting illegal religious texts. I mean, tracking down Bibles and illegalizing them, that's sort of hard to do, isn't it? How do you find a Bible in every house, every desk, every bedroom? I guess you could if you sent in the stormtroopers to find Bibles. But now that we all have our Bibles on our apps, all someone has to do in a communist regime is push a button and your access to the Bible disappears. This is examples of tech tyranny, in addition to the many other things that we've talked about, that's paving the way into the new world order. And so we're now living in this electronic environment where you can be literally silenced, canceled, suspended for simply posting the wrong thing. Here's our final article, and I believe this is also from the Christian Post. October 25th, 2021. These are all fairly recent articles, as you can see from the dates. And the title of it is Twitter Suspends Republican Congressman's Account for Calling Rachel Levine a Man. The article says Twitter has suspended the account of a Republican congressman who posted a tweet noting that President Joe Biden's U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health, Rachel Levine, who identifies as a transgender, is a man. Banks has been temporarily blocked from using his Twitter account until he agrees to delete the tweet calling Levine a man, according to NBC News. The article says Twitter claimed that the tweet violated its hateful conduct policy, which prohibits tweets that engage in misgendering or dead naming of transgender individuals, close quote. Notice how fuzzy, fluffy, ambiguous that language is. Your Twitter feed or account could be suspended because of hateful conduct. Well, what's hateful conduct? Well, you call someone a man who wants to transgender as a woman. Today, that's called hate. And I want you to notice here that they did this to Mr. Banks, who is a, if I read the article right, a member of the United States House of Representatives. Now, if they can do that to a man, maybe I shouldn't have said man, whoops, a man of that stature, Mr. Banks, what could they do to little old me and little old you? And these are all examples of tech tyranny and the advancement of technology, and our dependence upon technology is paving the way into the New World Order. So for the sake of time, we're going to stop at this point, and this will be a very natural transition. Maybe I shouldn't use that word. My goodness. A very natural transition where we're going to pick it up next time in what's called the gender surrender. But hopefully this prophecy update is helpful to you. We can see the stage is being set for the end times. We've seen it in terms of inflation and Israel, how inflation itself is actually predicted in Jewish tradition as something that will precede the coming of the Antichrist. We've seen the religious arm of the New World Order through the Pope giving a Christian veneer on a world without borders. We've seen the development of the headquarters of the New World Order moving further and further into the Middle East, which is exactly what Bible prophecy predicts concerning Babylon in the end times. We've seen how the issue of the environment is being stoked aggressively to move us into global control. And we've seen how such tyranny is now possible because of the advent of technology. A few more categories to cover next time. All being said, things are not falling apart. They're falling into place. This is exactly what the Lord said would happen. And, you know, you can go through your life with rose-colored glasses on, pretending like it's not happening, and acting like things are getting better and better, and denying reality in the process, and saying to yourself, well, the Nile is not just a river in Egypt. I'm living in denial right now. And a lot of people live their lives that way. Or you can just embrace what God says. This is proof that the Bible is true. God told us that these things will come to pass. But at the same time, he said, don't lose heart, because you have the blessed hope, the soon return of Jesus to rescue us out of the world. And that's where our true hope resides. And so we will pick this up next time in part two of this prophecy update. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Pastor's Point of View with Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods' website is andywoodsministries.org. This program is distributed as a broadcast ministry of WVW Broadcast Network and worldviewradio.com. You can download our free radio and TV app at wvwtv.com/app. Please join us next week for another installment of Pastor's Point of View with Dr. Andy Woods.
Hello, everyone out there. This is Mike Lindell of MyPillow, and I would love for you all getting involved to support Brandon Stations and his network. If you use the promo code WVW, you can save up to 66% off all my products at MyPillow.com, and half the proceeds are going to go to support his great network. Thank you.